Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for April 4th, 2024. I'm your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Yesterday was the 176th anniversary of the founding of the Chicago Board of Trade in a flower store attic. It opened on April 3rd, 1848 as a cash market for grain and offered to-arrive or forward contracts. The Futures for Kids Fun Run is set for May 23rd at Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, Stratford, London. If you are interested in sponsoring the Fun Run, contact Emma Davey of the FIA. EEX CEO Peter Reitz wrote on LinkedIn that EEX's inaugural week of power trading in the Nordic region has yielded promising results, marking a successful launch into the market. Initial turnover with the new zonal power futures saw 10 trades conducted in the Swedish SE3 and Danish DK1 market areas, totaling 32,811 megawatts hours in volume traded. Notably, the first trade was executed between Norlys Energy Trading AS and Uniper in the SE3 market area. Cboe Global Markets reported its March 2024 trading volume. Among the highlights were a record-setting block trade in Cboe iBoxx iShares Dollar High Yield Corporate Bond Index (IB8Y) futures, executed on March 22nd, representing $75 million in notional value. Also, Cboe Japan achieved a new monthly lit market share record of 5.3%, surpassing its last record set in February 2023. Mohd Salim, Director of Derivatives Markets at Bursa Malaysia, announced on LinkedIn a new record for the Bursa Malaysia Crude Palm Oil Futures (FCPO) contract, reaching a daily trading volume of 141,691 contracts on April 3rd, 2024, surpassing the previous high of 126,755 contracts on March 17th, 2020. This surge coincides with a bullish trend in FCPO prices, with a 2.2% increase in the benchmark third-month contract closing at 4,407 ringgit per ton. He said experts attribute this rise to strength in rival edible oils, firm crude oil prices, and anticipation of increased demand ahead of Eid al-Fitr. Additionally, the open interest for all derivative products combined reached a new high of 366,962 contracts on March 26, 2024. ICE's Chris Edmonds was interviewed at FIA Boca by Sean McMahon on the Modern Money Smart Pod in a podcast titled Road Trip. ICE's Chris Edmonds talks AI and other data trends in capital markets. There's a link for the podcast in today's newsletter. The theme of the GCSI Annual Conference 2024 on April 18th, 2024 at the Illinois Institute of Technology this year is Building Cyber Resilience, Surviving Threats Today and Tomorrow. You can see the agenda with a link in today's newsletter. I will be conducting a fireside chat at the conference at 10:45 with Darren Hurd, CISO of Guaranteed Rate. CFTC Chairman Rostam Benham is set to discuss global regulatory priorities and participate in a Q&A session at ISDA's 38th Annual General Meeting on Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, from 3:50 to 4:15 p.m., Tokyo at the Grand Hyatt in Tokyo, Japan. Additionally, he will engage in an interview at the same venue on Wednesday, April 17th, 2024, at 11:05 a.m. CFTC Commissioner Carolyn D. Pham is slated to address the topic of the new world of digital assets on a panel at HSBC's Global Investment Summit, scheduled for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024 at 2:30 p.m. That's Hong Kong GMT plus 8, at the Grand Ballroom Level LL of the Conrad Hong Kong. In the latest open call session organized by the Security Traders Association, Brett Harrison, the founder and CEO of Architect Financial Technologies and former CEO of FTX US, took the spotlight. Harrison delivered a presentation titled "Machine Learning, the Next Piece of the Puzzle," where he looked into the potential role of machine learning in the financial industry. You can watch the video with a link in today's newsletter, or you may listen to this with a link in today's newsletter. Greenwood Project co-founder Pavan Joseph has been recognized with the Alumni Impact Award by DePaul University School of Continuing and Professional Studies, he shared on LinkedIn. If you are attending the Options Conference in Asheville, North Carolina on April 30th to May 2nd and have news and would like to be interviewed by John Lothian News, please contact me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com to set it up. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were turmoil in India's exchange-traded FX options on forced position unwinding from Reuters, Options Insider Radio interviews talking zero DTE Bitcoin options, one-day VIX, and more with Cboe Global Markets from Options Insider, and rate cuts from Cboe, a video. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Johnson to greenlight 4 loop office to residential conversions. 4 projects that would use massive taxpayer subsidies to help turn outmoded office buildings on or near LaSalle Street into nearly 1,100 apartments are poised to move a key step closer to reality. Mayor Brandon Johnson is expected to announce tomorrow that the city will move forward with negotiations for proposed office-to-residential conversions of properties at 111 West Monroe Street, 208 South LaSalle Street, 30 North LaSalle Street, and 79 West Monroe, according to people familiar with the plan. The planned redevelopments are part of the LaSalle Street Reimagined initiative launched in 2022 by former mayor Lori Lightfoot. My comment: for years it felt like I lived on LaSalle Street. Now I really can. Here's another story, this one from Crane Chicago Business as well. The headline: want to swim the Chicago River? Open water events get the green light. Open water swimming will return to the once heavily contaminated Chicago River this fall during an event organizers are pitching as a celebration of the waterway's environmental turnaround. 500 people are expected to participate in the organized swim slated for the early morning of Sunday, September 22nd. Swimmers will opt for a 1 mile or 2 mile route, with the course looping the main stem of the downtown river corridor between State Street and Wolf Point. My comment: green is the operative word here. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline: collectibles, an enjoyable way to lose money. Don't try to pretend that collecting books, coins, whiskey, or classic cars is investing. I have a recollection of some 18th century Frenchman once writing, collectors are like a man who eats oysters. He chooses the best at first, but ends up eating them all. Collectors will recognize this tendency. I confess I count myself in this camp, though I am having counseling to resist the urges. For me, it started with buying a first edition of Raymond Chandler's 1953 classic The Long Goodbye. Then it became a full set of American first editions. Then others. They were always books that meant a lot to me, like Molesworth, Poe, Dickens. With Dickens, it was bound copies of some of his books as they were first published in monthly installments. The pleasure was in reading him as those first readers had nearly 200 years ago. My comment. My brother Dave will never get his money out of his beer can collection, but then most of them were garbage picked. Still, those cone tops can get a pretty penny in return. Here are the top three stories from yesterday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was SIBO eyes physically delivered VIX options for U.S. futures traders from FOW. Second was Polestar's head of sustainability has a plan to make EVs even cleaner from Bloomberg. Third was new bills aimed to give Californians better work-life balance from NBC Bay Area. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, SEC says self-reporting key factor in reducing off-channel communication fines. A senior enforcement official said the regulator considers several factors in determining the size of penalties imposed on financial institutions over record-keeping violations. A financial firm's decision to disclose record-keeping rule violations directly to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission can potentially reduce the fine it receives by a significant amount, a senior enforcement official said. Sanjay Wadhwa, deputy director of the SEC's enforcement division, on Wednesday detailed how the regulator assesses fines in such cases, adding that he was responding to, quote, a critique from the defense bar, unquote, that the agency was, quote, picking numbers at random, unquote. Here's the next story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, the big trading shakeup that is about to hit fund managers. Investors need to ready for the T+1 change in processing or risk unwelcome costs. For fund and investment managers around the world, every sliver of a percentage point of return matters. That is why they need to be ready for what is known as T+1 and an imminent U.S., Canadian, and Mexican rule change on trade processing that risks adding unwelcome costs and a drag on performance. In the smartphone era, buying and selling financial instruments is a superficially simple act. A few taps and you can be the proud new owner of an exchange-traded fund or shares in a far-off country. Here's the next story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, did one guy just stop a huge cyber attack? A Microsoft engineer noticed something was off on a piece of software he worked on. He soon discovered someone was probably trying to gain access to computers all over the world. The internet, as anyone who works deep in its trenches will tell you, is not a smooth, well-oiled machine. It is a messy patchwork that has been assembled over decades and is held together with the digital equivalent of scotch tape and bubblegum. Much of it relies on open source software that is thanklessly maintained by a small army of volunteer programmers who fix the bugs, patch the holes, and ensure the whole rickety contraption, which is responsible for trillions of dollars in global GDP, keeps chugging along. Last week, one of those programmers may have saved the internet from huge trouble. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform on which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.